For Good Measure, an interview series celebrating diverse composers and other creative artists, sponsored by a grant from the California Arts Council. I'm Nanette McGinnis, Artistic Executive Director of Ensemble for These Times. In this week's episode, we're joined by C. Nova, who we spoke to in July 2021. Thanks so much for taking the time to chat with us. You studied music as a child, became a lawyer, and returned to music. That sounds fascinating. Could you talk about your journey?
Yeah, I feel very thankful to kind of come full circle. And I painfully remember the moments when my mom forced me to go to piano lessons, first at our church and then at a conservatory. And I didn't practice, so my progress was limited. And then I eventually persuaded her to let me learn the saxophone instead. The reason why that moment is so meaningful to me is because now as a composer, I'm using piano as my main instrument, and I'm literally, you know, 2 years ago, taking piano lessons in Berlin, starting from scratch, and you know, from there, progressing, and now for me, it's more of an issue of like dexterity. So no Rachmaninoff pieces anytime soon. But at least, you know, for the purpose of composing and getting the harmonies and the melody, you know, I'm able to pick that up now. But, you know, had I gone with my mom's suggestion, it would be a breeze, the composing aspect, or essentially bringing the sounds from in my head out, you know. So yeah, it's been the journey where I played music in high school and I was in a marching band, and I saw music purely as recreational, and I was in essence mimicking an older cousin who was also, he played tenor sax in the marching band, and I ended up playing alto sax, and then I was in other bands there, concert band, jazz band, and because I had just a naturally good armature. Still lacking dexterity, but because of the armature, the conductor put me on oboe, bassoon, and bass clarinet, just to fill in wherever was needed. So, I did that, but you know, I have to say, you're using two very different parts of the brain when you're playing other people's music versus composing your own. Mm-hmm. So really, when I decided after practicing law and for 6 months, I tried to really learn music theory and continue being a very good lawyer. And I found it incredibly challenging because there's a quote that the law is a jealous mistress in a sense where it's so demanding. And so when I found myself kind of faltering on both ends, I decided I needed to decide which one I wanted to continue in, and I decided music, and the whole music aspect came with surprise as I was getting over heartbreak one evening, and I was walking down Houston Street in New York City. And I just started humming something that I really enjoyed, and it brought tears to my eyes, and I recorded it. And that was like the beginning of the end of my legal career. But yeah, so it's kind of been this process where, so that was like 2017, where I decided I wanted to learn music, and then by 2019, I was able to fully become a full-time composer, and thanks to my time in Berlin, I was able to make my vocation also my livelihood. So.
You've said that listening is a form of sonic activism and meditation, that sound can heal and expand one's consciousness. Can you tell us more about this?
We'll start with the premise that I'm a meditation practitioner. And I discovered that 2015 in Chelsea, New York, and by way of like, I think it was the seventh person that told me I should go to meditation. I finally relented. And so it brought an immense amount of clarity and kind of just like this sense that the stars aligned. And kind of like how ripeness comes to a fruit. I don't know how it happened, but it did happen. And so this clarity and this idea of being present, particularly my practices as in Buddhism, meditation. And I wanted to bring that into my music practice. So I would say I have two separate practices. One is more of a composer performer, neoclassical or avant-garde classical type music to be enjoyed for entertainment purposes. And to me, the other aspect is to be as present with music, as present with yourself as possible when listening. So after someone kind of saw kind of what I was doing with the music as far as being still, and I would have these rooms in Berlin where I would invite people to come and listen, actively listen. They would find a space on the ground, most of the time lie down, and just tell them to be with the music in a way that we're not when we're listening to Spotify or on YouTube, where we're either judging a sound. Oh, it's as good, is it not? Does it remind me of this time? Can I see myself driving a Ferrari and listening to this? Like, yeah, all these places except for the here and now. So when I do instruct the participants to be as present with the sound and a little acknowledge whatever makes you feel, and to always kind of reintroduce yourself to the rhythm of the breath and kind of like that, it really changes their interaction with sound. And it honestly, it could be a Frank Sinatra song that you do this to, but it's really how you do it and why that really affects the people I work with in this regard. And also I use this practice myself when I'm listening to music. And so activism through this, to the point of helping people be as present as they can while listening to sound, appreciating even when you're walking down the street and you pay attention to the various sounds coming, bird sounds, car tires on the streets, just being incredibly present, allowing for clarity to come, and finding peace. You know, it's really about just finding peace with yourself and with your surroundings. So yeah, so to me, I don't see this practice going anywhere. It's something I want to expand and invite people to do this. And also what I love about this particular practice of kind of active listening or sound healing is that it can be done anywhere, any place, at any time, honestly, by anyone. The way that people focus on the sensations of the breath while they're meditating, to me, you can do that with sound. And it can be from music to just a sound coming from the room or outside of a space, outside of a building or something like that. I don't know how I'm helping people, but I've done these sound healing sessions or these listening sessions, and people come up to me afterwards and just tell me what an incredible experience they've had. And after the very first time I did it, and I had people come up to me, and even security guard said, oh yeah, I heard people saying it was life-changing. I was just completely bewildered, you know, because here I am. I mean, I'm going through my own process of creating the music live. So I basically perform live sets of electronic music. And just that people come with this awareness. So I don't know how I help others, but I'm happy to create these sessions where people do feel that they're connecting with some type of higher power or connecting with themselves or whatnot.
Thank you for listening to For Good Measure, and a special thank you to our guest, Say Nova, for joining us today. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to our podcast by clicking on the subscribe button and support us by sharing it with your friends, posting about it on social media, and leaving us a rating and a review. To learn more about E4TT, our concert season online and in the Bay Area, or to make a tax-deductible donation, please visit us at www.e4tt.org. This podcast is made possible in part by a grant from the California Arts Council and generous donors like you. For Good Measure is produced by Nanette McGinnis and Ensemble for These Times and designed by Brennan Stokes, with special thanks to audio engineer extraordinaire Stephanie Newman. Remember to keep supporting equity in the arts and tune in next week for Good Measure.